Good morning, evening, afternoon, everybody. This is your host of the End Zone Club, Anthony Mitchell, where we specialize in conversations that are designed to push us from walking in potential to actually fulfilling purpose. And today I have a special guest here with us. But before I get to him, I got to get my preliminaries out the way. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, feel free to like, share, rate, subscribe. Help us to get this content out so that we can continue being a blessing to the kingdom as we have. But with that said, I need to turn the page on today's episode, because today we are joined with a man of many titles, which include leader, entrepreneur, visionary, husband, father, and excellent orator, Dr. Calvin Ellison, who I cannot encapsulate with just those few words. But Dr. Ellison, how are you today, sir?
Brother Ant-Man, I am excited to be on the End Zone Club with you, man. I've heard a lot about your stuff, and I'm just excited to be in the moment there with you.
I do have to say, I remember growing up, my dad used to do all the driving. Like anytime we were going somewhere, we didn't take plane, we didn't take airplane, we didn't take train, we didn't take bus, we drove. And then when I got of age and I was big enough to drive, he got over in the passenger seat and let me share the load. So today I am blessed to have you on, because I say, man, I can finally get in the passenger seat.
Gotcha.
But with that said, Doc, I'm just coming out the gate. I've been in the bullpen warming up, and I got some curveballs for you, and I got to start with my first one. But when I say that I have been blessed to be in association with a crowd of great and ambitious men, I got to say that you're like one of the ones that is definitely leading the pack. If you can, spend a few minutes sharing with our listeners about some of the opportunities God has afforded you in making an impact in your community.
Oh, wow. I think right out the gate, having been raised without my father, the drive and the determination to be all that I could be as a male and a man, I believe that's where it started at. And he's placed people over the years around me to help me get in shape as a male and in shape as a man. And from there, I'd go right over into one of the major areas that he's allowed me to have opportunity at, and that is in the area of marriage. My girlfriend and I, we've been married now for 40 years as of last month. For 40 years, it seemed like 5 years have gone by. We're still enjoying one another and doing life in the kingdom together. So that is a major, major area of focus for us. And then as I progress on a little bit further, I'm a naturopathic doctor, been teaching health and wellness, Brother Ant, for the last at least 30 years. 30 years. And up to this very day, I do a little over 300 push-ups every day, military-style jumping jacks, and some other calisthenics and things as well to stay in shape and to strive to be a good role model in the area of health, being in my 60s.
I don't know if you intended on dropping all those nuggets, because health is wealth. And it's probably an area that we are struggling in our community more and more. I mean, just even on the tail end of being with holidays, how many of us ate as much as we wanted to, as fast as we could get it down?
Gotcha. So true. Gotcha. Well, you know, we're locked into the tradition of what is supposed to go on during the holidays, or what you're supposed to eat when a football game comes on, or baseball game, or whatever your favorite sport is. And over the years, I've just looked at breaking the mold. I want to enjoy those times and enjoy what everybody else eats to a degree. But I've kind of broken away from the pack, if you would, to say, you know, like some of the guys that are in bodybuilding, their coaches tell them, now, if you go and do this and you just go in and overindulge, well, you're going to pay for it in the next practice. And so I enjoy, but I don't want to have to pay for it in the next practice.
All right, Doc, you're talking about me, so I'm going to have to turn the page in this conversation. But before I jump ahead in your story, I kind of want to rewind your highlight reel a little bit and find out more about the circumstances that made you so passionate about your work. Can you go into that a little bit?
Well, from the men area, again, just again, not having been raised with my father. My father came into my life a little bit later on in life before he passed away. And then just watching what was going on in the area of men. And I'm like, well, I don't want that to happen in my life. I don't want my relationship to go the way I have seen other relationships go. And I believe that out of that, I don't want to go in that direction, but I want to go in the direction of what my Creator designed me to be like as a man. I wanted my relationship to be like what my Creator designed this thing called marriage to be like. And I believe that that has been the overall driving force, Brother Ant, in my life, hooking into what was I created to be like. Who was I created? What was I created to be? And just locking into that with a dogged determination, I believe that our Creator is the best and the greatest coach for human development, human growth, and being that successful individual we can be. So I believe it starts there with the passion that I would have to say He gave to me, and I kept feeding it by going to His Word, inquiring of Him, who did you create me to be? How do you want me to be? And Brother Ant, when I began to find out that He created us to be successful, He created us to be winners, He created us to be dominators, I'm like, well, from this point on, any aspect of me, I'm looking for domination, I'm looking for success. And as the Apostle Paul said, I'm in it to win it.
You kind of struck oil on this one, because that was actually the vein of my next question. So I'm going to just jump into it, but it's going to be a little more personal. And I want to draw a little more water from your personal story, if I can, and ask you to kind of parallel some of your life experiences with the rising issue of fatherlessness in our community, and kind of pour into some of these young men why it's important for them to play their role.
Wow. I mean, our roles are so, so important. You know, I love sports, as you know that. You know my favorite team now, Brother Anthony. My favorite team. I won't even mention it for the sake of this club that you've got here. But every person on the team is necessary, is important. If you slip up and think that that wide receiver is not important, when you need a long pass, you understand how important that wide receiver is. If you think that that pulling guard is not important, think again when that play is called where he is so needed. So it is when it comes down to us as men, our role to be able to protect, our role to be able to guide, our role to be able to coach, to mentor. Since we have been designed to be the leaders, it is so critically important. And sitting under someone, you know, I love sports again, and those who played the game well oftentimes go back and coach the game. So sitting under the leadership, the guidance of somebody who's been there and done that, I believe is critically important. I had to do that for my own evolution. There was a gentleman that came to our area way back in the 80s, and some of you may have heard of him, may not have heard of him. Edwin Lewis Cole had a men's ministry. This guy just lit my candle, got me stirred up, fired up. And to be a protege of his, when I never really spoke to him, in those days I went and got every book that I could find that Ed Cole put out, every CD that he produced, and I just consumed it. Why? Because I was on his heels as a protege. He was my coach. I literally accepted him as my father while he was there on that stage. And I said that in my mind, I'm accepting you right now as my father, and I'm going to glean everything I can glean from you, having no idea that attaching myself to him like that would cause the mantle of what was on him and others too, like unto him, would fall upon me. So I say to any young man and older ones too, hook up. If your father is not in your life, life is not over. You can move forward with the determination and the desire to be who you were created to be, to do what you were created to do, with that desire and the determination the right people will be placed in your world to assist you to be the best you that you can be. You're not called to be the best Anthony Mitchell, the best Calvin Ellison, but you are called to be the very best you. So push you to new levels by connecting with folks who can help you get there. You got YouTube, you got social media, you got a lot of good stuff, you got libraries, you got the books of people's lives who evolved from nothingness to great impact and influence in our world.
Doc, honestly, you just made wholesome masculinity attractive. I think a lot of the toxic or the unbalanced that we got in a lot of our communities because nobody was making it where we wanted to be strong men of valor, integrity. You really just you laid it at my feet, and I'm over here listening. I almost pulled the organ out and got behind you and helped you preach a little bit.
Hey, well, you know, when you've been in the game and you've learned how the game plays, it kind of just pours out of you. You know, and I want to help everybody who's in the game of manhood, who's in the game of being a male, who's in the game of being a father, who's in the game of being a husband. I want to help because I remember how bad, how desirous I was. And I said to myself, once my cup is filled up, I'm going to pour out the content of what's in my cup that I got from others. I'm going to pour it into every cup that I possibly can.
I'm going to have to turn the page real quickly because I can feel your passion and you're going to go ahead and answer all my questions up front. So I'm going to turn the page real quick, Doc, okay. Because you kind of just tapped into something that I wanted to get into in a few moments. But I know over time that you have been a part of many great movements, gaining a lot of invaluable stories, if I can say that, along the way. Can you take us to one of those moments and share a story that has had a lasting impression on you?
Wow. Just one of those stories. So many. Wow. I'll go to one of the stories right after my wife and I, we had gotten married, I guess, for about 5, 6, 7 years. And I wondered for a while why I was not connected very heavily in that area with somebody who was a great model. And I found out that we had been selected. God's hand was upon us to mold and to shape us in the straight and the narrow in that particular vein of operation, in the marriage vein. And here it was about 7 years or 7, 8 years into our relationship. We were afforded the opportunity to be connected to a Mac, Bishop Mac and Brenda Timberlake, of whom we were able to glean from, who were operating on a national and international scale in that particular area. Because I had been told by the Lord supernaturally, I had a supernatural encounter to where he basically in certain terms said that the marriage assignment is one of the assignments that I have given to you while you're on this planet. You are to teach about it, train about it, be an example about it. And we were afforded the opportunity to be connected to Bishop Mack and Brenda Timberlake that just took our thoughts and our operations to another level. I can never forget that because they modeled a good couple for everybody who would look upon them. And that is one that just jumps right out from the very beginning in these conversations.
Got to say thanks for that, because thanks for that story, because your answer really brings me to a more reflective question in nature. I notice a reoccurring trend as you're talking. You've spent a lot of time talking about the impact that others have had on you personally, but this one is for you. And that is, what's the ultimate mark that you want for your legacy to achieve with this next generation that you're mentoring? What do you want that legacy to look like, sound like, be like?
Oh, what a great question. I want it to be to where I kept striving to empty Calvin Ellison out to get Jesus Christ in. Why? Because I'm convinced that he is ultimate man. God man, but man. And I wanted to be seen that he did everything he could to get Calvin Ellison out of the way so that Jesus Christ could be at the forefront, shining from his life into other people's life as the ultimate man to model our lives after in every area. I want to live out why I was put on this planet. And I believe in doing so, I'm going to be a representative of the one who created me. I want humanity to see the greatest person who ever lived, the creator of all things, this brilliant earth that we have, this constant expanding galaxy we have. I want them to see Jesus Christ through the model of Calvin Ellison.
That really sends shivers down my spine. And the reason that is because you know this to be true. A lot of times within even working with men that are coming from a broken model of what it means to be a man, a father, what it means to be a mentor in the community or guiding light, a lot of men feel left behind when they don't have what you're just talking about. So I will say, one mark that you have left with me is that you're faithful. And I know this because you have been a fan of the Dallas Cowboys through all of the abuse their fans suffer. So I just have to know about.
See, I was trying to not to go Cowboys there in the name being mentioned, but you know, you took me there. So
what is it? What drew you in about the Cowboys? Now, I just had to go ahead and, since you set it up earlier, I couldn't let the moment pass without you explaining this one to me.
You know, I think when way back when I was very, very young, it was one of the first teams that I saw watching NFL football. And you know how it is, the first impression, lasting impression, and just hearing some of the names of those days and watching those guys play like Tony Dorsett and Roger Staubach and Ed Too Tall Jones and what they were doing. They were winning in that particular era of time, and I think they got so branded in my mind, and I used to watch how they played. I'm like, well, I think that's the team that I want to stay close with in as far as being a fan. And then when I did play football, I did everything I could to mimic Tony Dorsett. I had his number when I was playing high school football, and we used to kind of do plays like what the Cowboys would do. So it's been all these years that I've kind of stuck with them.
Fair enough, Doc. I guess I'll let you have it. And I'm going to share something that's crazy, and this is all scripted. But we're talking about examples and everything else. But growing up, my brother, my baby brother, is still a big Cowboys fan.
Oh, okay.
And he was a better football player, more dedicated, let me say that. I had the natural ability. I just didn't like to work, right?
Okay.
But my brother was a Cowboys fan, and he was a starting middle linebacker.
Oh, wow.
Played all three of the linebacker positions. And I'm going to let you take a wild guess. He had a poster in his room. There were two Cowboys that were linebackers that were on that poster. I want you to just take a random guess who was on that poster.
Henderson.
It's somebody we talk to twice a week.
Oh, come on. You mean Randall Guthrie?
I don't even think I've shared this with Brother Randall, who I hope to have on this platform, but he was on his wall. And it's just crazy that we have since become brothers in the gospel that pray together.
Yeah.
And that blows my mind. So even with these kind of platforms, when we talk about legacy and leaving marks and things we've put in place, I do feel like God orchestrates everything that's supposed to be with his divine time. But I don't want to go too far down that road because we can get deep, because, I mean, you've had some good conversations. But I did want to ask, like, besides sports, what are some other things you like to do on your spare time?
Oh, man, I love traveling. Yeah, I love traveling. I've been to Africa probably over at least around 12 times. So I love traveling. I love mingling with people. I'm a people person. I love to get out there and get among people and network and us talk about what we can do together. So I love that. I love studying, research, because I'm a guy, I want to know. And so that's a favorite thing of mine. I could do research almost like 24/7, And so yeah, traveling and reading are two of my pet peeves, and of course, getting among folks.
Did I read somewhere that aviation was one of your passions?
No, I don't could not ever see myself flying a plane.
Okay.
Now, my first trip ever on a plane was 7,000 miles from North Carolina to Africa. I love traveling and even traveling
Okay.
by plane for sure, but no, not in the aviation field.
Okay, I don't know why I read that aerodynamics and aviation was one of your passions.
Now, I love studying the stars, man. Studying the galaxies.
Okay.
I love that kind of stuff now. In North Carolina, they used
Gotcha.
to call me the galaxy guy. because I'm always talking
So,
about that in my sermons.
were you into Star Trek and Star Wars and all those sorts of things growing up?
Oh man, beam me up, Scotty. Oh yeah. Put me in that machine and take me to another world. Man, I dream about that right to this very day. I love that. Love Star Trek because to me, what it spiritually spoke, getting that in that machine and they just beam you up into a whole nother world, another dimension. I love those kind of thoughts.
My kind of guy. I didn't want to change the corner because we were going very early on where I wanted to go now. And I was like, man, this is getting good. Even as a host, a lot of times you get a chance to bring in different people and you can tell pretty early on, like, okay, this is going to be very good. And I could just tell the way you were going. I was like, Doc already knows my questions and I haven't gotten a chance to share with him yet. It's like he's in that vein of unity. But I do want to say earlier in the conversation, I wrote down the word family and circled it. That was kind of like a theme I kept hearing as you were talking. Something you said made me feel like this was an important word to you. Why is that?
I believe it comes from the utter desire that I had as a young person. To want to have that great thing that I saw that others had, that it's like I wasn't privy to, and that was that sense of family. I wanted more out of that particular arena. You know how it is, you want something, you don't know the dynamics of it, but you see other folks operating in it, and it looked so good, it felt so good to be around those that were operating very heavily in that vein and seeing the support of it and the richness of people supporting and loving on one another. I think that stirred me to where I'm like, I want to do everything when I get older to have that, to exemplify it, and to give the imagery of it to others. Because I'm driven, as I believe that most of us are, by images. And so I wanted to be able to create a good image of what it looks like and give it away to this generation.
I've got one more question for you. But before I get there, I'm glad you brought that point up about you desired to have something you didn't have. And I hear a lot of times, a lot of the younger women are expressing concern that they don't think young men are desiring to be fathers, to be leaders, to be a part of a family unit. Would you say that's true, or is that a misnomer? Or can you kind of speak to that real quick?
Yeah,
Anything?
that's somewhat of a misnomer because it is inside I believe every male, the desire to be what they were created to be by our Creator. Now, of course, that desire can be smothered by disappointments, hurts, lack of information, lack of imagery as to how to live it out. And so oftentimes, males, just like females, can get frustrated and say, well, what's the use? I'll just do whatever comes to mind to express who I was created to be, ignorant of oftentimes the things that we can do that can turn people off or damage people. But I believe it is in the male to really want to be that man. And it's better that we catch that young male at an early age and begin to feed that want to be before something negative is fed. So I believe it's there. We got to be, again, a lion cub, when he watches, he or she watches the parent lions, they want to roar. They want to roam. They want to rule. But if they don't see it done, as we've said on our Men Magnifying Manhood Zoom, if the boy didn't learn, then the man won't know. But if he's fed according to that, that what he was, or how he was wired to be, if he's coached and mentored and supported, I believe the ladies will see more and more men coming forth and being what they expect us to be.
Doc, I'm telling you what, for anybody that's used to eating microwave meals, you just gave us an oven baked and cold top fried chicken and all the goods and trimming. But listen, I got one final question for you. I mean, I could honestly, the well that you're drawing from is just like really giving me life. And I could do this all day, but it's not fair to you or your time. So typically, I don't allow my guests to leave without answering this final question.
Okay.
So drum roll, please. Are you ready? Knowing what you know now, what are some things or one thing that you would tell your younger self?
I would tell my younger self to be more focused once you got on the right track. Be more focused. Focused. Stay on that one thing until you develop those biceps, those triceps, or whatever that area of that area is that you wanted to get developed. Just be more focused. And it's going to take discipline to do that, of course. But that is one thing that I would tell my younger self. Be more focused. Watch those distractions and stay focused.
Listen, if you're not motivated by now after hearing today's conversation, do not walk out the door. Run and play your part. We'll keep praying for you. But Doc, listen, I appreciate you. I'm a kind of person that likes to give the roses to those that are in front of me. And before I give you your roses, Doc, I do want to say somebody that's listening by way of the various platforms we are on, and they want to connect more with your ministry and just be a support to what you're doing. How can they do so?
Well, they could. I have a website, calvinellison.org. calvinellison.org, or they could email me at dr.calellison, C-A-L-Ellison, E-L-L-I-S-O-N, at Gmail. And of course, I'm out there on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Now, I have been blessed, guys, by today's encounter. And I will say I have been blessed by Doc. He has allowed me to, in some areas, to grow with them in this regard and have open opportunities for me to speak to different platforms. And I am thankful, Doc, that you have seen something in me where you have allowed me that. So it does me great joy to return the favor to you and put you on my platform. Let you be the highlight of today, knowing that every word you speak is going to reach its intended target.
Well, I've got to say this about you now before closing. I mean,
No.
Because I listen, as particularly when we were on our Monday and Wednesday prayer call and so forth, I'm like, there's certain things I don't have to say because I believe Brother Mitchell was sitting right beside me in the classroom of life because he speaks almost exactly the same stuff that I speak. We're on the same sheet of music. So I want to say how much I appreciate you and the sharpness that you bring to the table. Man, it is a delight to be in your company, to be with you.
You know, that blesses me because a lot of times we as men, we have a sense of ego in that I don't know how to support. This one doesn't know how to congratulate. This one feels less when someone else is able to shine. But brother, you have come in here, you have walked with a size 22 shoe, and I know we will be blessed with this footprint you have left.
Well, it's been my pleasure to be with you, man. Keep on doing the great job. I love the excellency of your, and I love the title too, The End Zone Club, because that's where we've got to go. We got to have a vision for the end zone. And I love it, man. Keep doing the great work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. You've heard it here first. Be sure to like, rate, support. If you just click on the link at the top that says support, we, guys, I got to say this, 12% of our listenership is coming by way of Germany, 3% of India, as well as like 12 other countries. So we are reaching a far bandwidth, and conversations like today are going to do nothing more than push it even further. So enjoy today's content, like, rate, share, subscribe to it, and this is another edition of the End Zone Club. Be blessed.